Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello and welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. Thank you so much for listening. Today I have with me Claire Tebbutt, and she is a marketing and business strategist and is a huge fan of metrics, in particular marketing metrics, that's the numbers. And she helps drive ambitious entrepreneurs just like you to create the freedom and lifestyle that you desire by helping to scale your service-based business. So Claire, hello, welcome to this week's podcast. How are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
So I love it that we're both lovers of measuring things. I know that's not everybody's bag, is it? So have you always been a measurer and a looker at numbers?
Well, no, I think my maths GCSE teacher would have said definitely not.
It's funny how we evolve then, isn't it? Because I've always loved numbers. I've always loved looking below the surface to see what drives things, because I'm a huge believer you can't manage what you don't measure. So the numbers never lie. You've got to look at the data. So that's always been something that's really ingrained in me. So that's interesting that that wasn't always a thing for you.
No, definitely. It's just when I became a business owner for the first time, that's when the numbers started to really fascinate me.
It's vital, isn't it?
They're so important. Yeah, I wanted to know where my business was coming from. I needed to know how many people I needed to. I used to have a photography business. That was my first business of my own. And I was getting plenty of people through the door, but I didn't know where they were coming from. And therefore, I didn't know where to go out and attract more of them. And I didn't know how many people I needed to speak to in order to get that number of people I wanted through the door. So that's when the numbers really became really important to me.
Yeah, I think when you start off as a business owner, I think the numbers that you think you need to know is just what's on your bank statement. And it really is just the scratching the surface, because your business is all about numbers. It's about the number of clients you have, the different services you offer, the pricing, the sort of income that you've got, the amount that you're spending, what the profit number is left for you. Everything revolves around numbers, numbers, numbers. And in order for you to generate the income that you want, the actual money that you keep, you have to keep tracking these different numbers. And I think it's so interesting, like you say, it's fascinating to work back. If I want to earn X amount, what do I need to put into the hopper? How many people do I need to attract to come through the door to generate that revenue? You can sort of reverse engineer it effectively, can't you, to grow and build your business to the sort of number that you want it to be, if that makes sense. So can I just ask about your squiggly journey into self-employment? Have you always been self-employed, or have you done some other things before where you are now?
Yeah, no, I haven't always been self-employed. So when I first started in the world of work and employment after university, I kind of fell into a marketing job and I totally loved it. I'd basically finished university, wanted to go traveling, hadn't got a clue what I wanted to do. So I just signed up to a temping agency. I think it was Office Angels. And they put me into a receptionist job for a week at a design studio. And they said, oh, you obviously don't want to do this for the rest of your life. What do you want to do? And I said, marketing, with a great big question mark at the end. And they said, oh, we'll get you a job with the marketing agency you work with. And they did. And I loved it. Yeah, I totally loved it. I think I was really good at it. Then I kind of moved to the big smoke, moved to London, worked for many agencies in London, went traveling, and then kind of met my husband, got married, had a child, And then I thought, oh, I'm not sure this job's going to work anymore because I want to spend time with my daughter. So I asked them if I could go part-time and they would agree to 4 days. But working in a marketing agency is really full on, really fast paced, which is what I loved about it. But then obviously my situation had changed. And although I gave it a go, 4 days is really like doing 5 days in four. So I thought I'd set up on my own as a photographer because I'd always enjoyed photography and I loved it. And I specialised in newborn babies. So it really worked around the life I wanted to have, which was to be obviously be there for my daughter. I had been told that I wouldn't be able to have any more children as well. So for me, it was really important to be able to spend the time with her. But 3 months after leaving the marketing agency, I did actually get pregnant when I had a second child. So that was great. But then as the years went by, obviously the kids got a bit older. I got a bit bored doing the photography. And I found that when you do newborn photography, you spend up to 4 hours with the family, with the parents. And a lot of them were already worrying about what they were going to do work-wise. And they all wanted the flexibility that comes with working for yourself. Well, that was the only thing that they could think of because they said, oh, my job won't work, my job won't work. And I just suddenly thought, well, why don't I do marketing? That's obviously what I've done all my life, apart from my photography business. And I could help these people have successful businesses. Because obviously they're not all marketeers by trade, which I was. So that's what made me set up my marketting business. That's how I got to where I am now.
So did you do that alongside, did you start to get your marketing business back on its feet alongside your photography? Did you run them sort of next to each other for a little while, or did you just shut the doors one day on your photography business and the next day you were in your marketing role?
There was a short overlap. I think it was only about 3 months. Short overlap and then straight into the marketing.
And I think what you've explained is such a common story where people perhaps begin in an employed role and they sort of carry it on. They really enjoy it, but they do it for as long as it suits their lifestyle. And then people have a family and they realize that there has to be some change or flexibility. And when it's not extended in the sort of corporate world or in the sort of employed job, then they have to sort of turn to something else, either a new role or, you know, a new self-employed idea or a side hustle or some hobby that they have been pursuing that they can then monetize to move into that area or to retrain effectively and start a new career and become self-employed. But it's interesting how you began your photography business and then from there you started to notice these other parents that were similar to you previously that were looking for that good fit with their work life balance, and you realized that there was a gap in the market to support those people. So you reverted then to your previous skill set of your marketing. So interesting.
And obviously I'd had to use the marketing skills in my photography business as well. But and also what I found is I do work with a lot of parents. They're not normally new parents by the time I get to work with them, if I'm honest, because I think what happens is people start a business and they're obviously got lots of excitement, passion, and they can get so far on their own, but then they kind of get stuck. They get stuck at a certain point and they can't grow their business beyond that point and they don't know how to do it. And that's typically when they come to me. But also I found that I'm working with quite a few people who have got, who maybe haven't got children, but they've got older relatives that are starting to need extra support and they want the freedom and flexibility around that as well. So,
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So when somebody comes to you to say, you know, I've got my business so far and it just seems to have plateaued, I want to move to the next level. Where do you start with them, Claire? What's the first step that you need to do to work out where they are at this point?
Okay. So it's just looking at where they are now to kind of do an audit and take stock. So looking at their numbers. I kind of have this analogy around Google Analytics on the brain because I've just been looking at it for a client. Google Maps. So I think Google Maps is very like a marketing strategy. So you use Google Maps, or I do, when I'm driving somewhere that I've never driven before. And the first thing it'll do is ask you where you want to go. That's like having your goals in your business. But to get you to where, to get you there, it then asks you where you are now so that it can take you there. And that's what you need to do with your marketing strategy. You need to see where you are now. So you need to do an audit of your marketing, where your, where those leads are coming from, where the clients are coming from, because there's lots of businesses that I review actually, like they might get the vast majority of their leads from Facebook, but actually the paying clients are coming from somewhere else. So it's making sure that you know exactly what's happening where, and that's what I always start with by reviewing the metrics.
So you do this gap analysis effectively, you find out where they want to get to, and then you work out where they are now, and you can then see, you know, how many miles it is if you're using your Google Maps analogy, how many miles, and then you can evaluate, I suppose, what sort of means of transport they've got, what sort of budget, how much time they've got to be able to work out, you know, whether they've got a big budget, they can go by jumbo jet or helicopter private jet, or whether they're going to be needing to get their bicycle out and dusting off their pedals or even walking, depending on if the resources are really tight, I suppose. But I suppose similarly to that with Pocket PA, for me, I'm always about saying, you know, if you want to get to Scotland really fast, you're going to be using the motorway. You don't need to take the A roads. You don't need to sort of hitchhike or that sort of thing. Why would you want to do it with multiple tools when you've got one tool that does it all that will get you there much faster? But I think sometimes people like the scenic route, or, you know, they want to smell the coffee and check the flowers out on the way. But a lot of people are quite impatient and they want to get to their destination ASAP, as fast as possible. But sometimes there's that sort of push-pull balance of resources, time, budget, etc., that in, you know, that has to be sort of a resource that people need to have available. So if somebody comes to you and they think they don't have any metrics, does everybody have metrics? They just might not be aware of them when they get started. Because if I spoke to a few business owners that I know and I said, you know, share with me your metrics, they'd be like, you know, what are you talking about? I've just got my bank statement. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. So if you do social media, you've got metrics. If you send emails, you've got metrics. If you've got a website, you've got metrics. You just might not ever look at them, which a lot of business owners don't, because they're, especially in the service-based industry, because they're so busy delivering the service, whether it's plumbing, photography, beauticians, whatever it is, they're so busy delivering it because that's obviously what brings in the money. They don't have the time to look at the metrics. But if you look at the metrics, it saves you time and gets you to your destination quicker, because it allows you to look at what's working. So just amplify that and do more of it. Or if you can see that something isn't working, you either stop it or you can see if it's got any tweaks that can be made to optimize it and get it to perform better for you.
So if anybody has a website, will they automatically have this information being collected, or would they need to have had it connected up to Google Analytics right at the get-go? What happens if they had missed off that stage? Perhaps they've done their own website. Will they always have that sort of metrics being calculated, or would there be an extra step that they might have had to have done that they may not have initiated right at the get-go?
Okay, so yes. So it does depend. If they, Google Analytics, we talk about Google Analytics because it's kind of like the main analytics tool that people use, but obviously there are others available. I sound like the BBC. So if Google Analytics hasn't been set up to their website, then they won't have the data. However, if they've got a Wix site or another site like that that has their own inbuilt analytical tools, then they may well have the data.
But if they have just their own website, it's not too late. They could get connected to Google Analytics anytime. You could help them with that, and then they could start collecting that for you to analyse that at a slightly later date down the road.
Absolutely. It's never too late to add it. There's an old saying about when was the best time to plant an oak tree 500 years ago. The next best time is today. Just start.
Just start, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I mean, even if you haven't got a website, because lots of businesses, when they first start out, don't have a website. They just have a social media presence. The first thing to do is just open an Excel spreadsheet. Now, that might scare some people. So just get out pad and pen and just start asking people if when they come through the door, say if you're a beautician or something, just ask people, oh, how did you hear about us? Now, I imagine in that industry, a lot of it is word of mouth marketing, which is fabulous because it's free. But the problem with that is you can't harness it if you don't know where it's coming from. But anyway, I'm digressing. So yeah, pad and pen, just start asking people, where did you hear about us? Make a note of it. And then you're just kind of tracking where your business is coming from. And then you just start from there, just start simple.
So what do you do with those numbers once you have things all filled in on your spreadsheet and somebody says to you, right, this is how many clients I have, this is where they've come from, etc. What's the next step for you?
Okay, so the next step is analysing those numbers. So I've got an acronym, I've got a clear system, it's called. So C is collate, so you collate all the information. L is learn, so you learn from what the numbers are telling you, because some people can obviously misconstrue maybe what the numbers are telling you, or I think you alluded to it earlier about digging deeper, because sometimes if you don't dig deep enough with the numbers, it gives you the wrong impression. So you always have to dig a bit deeper. E, evaluate what you're going to do. A of clear is action. So action, what you've decided you're going to do. And then R is review. So once you've got those numbers, you have to analyze them. So let's say you're a plumber, and let's say you've worked out that 20% of your clients are coming from word of mouth, 20% are coming from an advert in a local parish magazine. Let's say 20% are coming from Google Ads. And how many have we got? 20, 40, 60. And then 40% are coming from Google My Business. So then you know where your leads are coming from, but not your leads, your actual paying clients. Then you can look to see, okay, well, so if 20% are coming from my Google Ads, that's obviously going to be the most expensive way to bring people in. And it's only bringing in the same amount as everything else. So perhaps I could advertise in another parish magazine, which would be a lot cheaper than Google Ads, for instance. So it just helps you work out where to focus your time and your money so that you can spend less time and money on the things that don't work and more time on the things that do work, which actually then saves you time because you're actually focusing your efforts rather than doing I hate this phrase, but I can't think of a better one, spray and pray approach and trying a bit of everything. You're focusing and just doing the few things that you know that work.
Yes, it's like crossing your fingers and just hoping that things are all going to work isn't it? But that's really just a burying your head in the sand, really. And I think people get a little bit complacent. They accept the level of income that they're at, and they kind of are just that they kind of get into a groove, I suppose. And you realize that if you're going to have to grow, you're going to have to do some effort and, you know, take some action and stuff. And people are like, oh, I'm not really sure. Life's not too bad. I'm just about making do. And then a pain point comes and they need to escalate and increase their income because they have another outgoing, or energy bills increase, or we have a higher cost of living, etc. And people are now, I think, realizing that they're having to gear up and actually review their business to start generating extra income. And it's not just about perhaps adding an extra £2 or £3 to their prices for each client. It's actually another way to grow their business because they've got spare capacity that they're not working at their max with all their hours per week, etc. So if they were to do 2 or 3 hours extra per week and fill that capacity a little bit, that again could increase their revenue. But in order to do that, it may be that they need extra clients coming through the door to grow their list a little bit. Perhaps that might be a situation.
Yes. And well, one situation I find that I come up against a lot is that business owners say they're too busy to put a strategy and a plan into place, or they're too busy to look at their metrics. But if they took the time to do that, it would ultimately save them so much time and make them more money, because they're actually working to a plan which has been checked against their goals and which helps keep them focused.
We have a goal setting strategy, not strategy, but a goal setting tool, sorry, in Pocket PA, which is really helpful. And there are five different things that you can actually set. So you can set your goal based on your actual income coming in, or your profit, which is obviously your income minus your expenses. So you can focus specifically on the actual net profit that you've got. Also, you can track it based on the number of hours you're working or the number of appointments. So there are various different things that you can set to actually measure, because my belief is it's all very well having a goal, but if you don't look at it for 3 months and then you have to dust it off, you know, that goal should be front and foremost in your, you know, your sight line every single day. So if you're opening Pocket PA every single day, it will tell you as you enter data into Pocket PA exactly where you are on that timeline of being able to achieve or not achieve, to motivate or give you a little kick up the backside to sort of say, you know, you're way off. If you've got your metric and you can see you're only a quarter and you're supposed to be, you know, 75% based on where you are through the month, that's a really visual cue to think, oh my goodness, I'm not on track for what I set myself. And if you set yourself, you know, a target for the year, it will also break it down in Pocket PA to what you need to be earning. For example, if it's an income one, what you need to be earning per month, and then breaks it down further per week. And it will tell you if you're on track or not. So those continuous reminders, I think it's, you're absolutely right. It's that review process. It's all very well having a plan. But if you're not reviewing and seeing how you're measuring up against it, then you're not really being accountable, are you?
No, and that's so true. And I'm really glad you've brought that up, because a plan isn't a one-time thing only. Just like Google Maps, going back to that, you know, if you put in your destination and then suddenly there's a horrendous traffic jam on the motorway, Google Maps will reroute you to still get you there the quickest way possible. And that's what a plan's about. So if somebody is checking in Pocket PA and they think, oh gosh, actually I'm way off my income target, okay, what can I do? I'll go back to my plan. Or actually, I haven't been implementing my plan is quite often a popular thing or a common thing. Or okay, perhaps the plan needs to change, or I need to change the plan now because something isn't working. So it's a living, breathing thing. And as long as it's aligned kind of like to your strategy, that's great. As well, another thing I find is that people are sometimes resistant to putting a strategy or plan into place because it's pushing them out of their comfort zone. But as we know, like the best kind of growth happens when you are just a little bit out of your comfort zone,
in your stretch zone. I like to just call it your stretch zone, because I think, you know, I've been listening to a few people talking about this sort of comfort zone recently, and I totally align with the idea is that we operate best when we're in our comfort zone, because it, you know, it is just that, our comfort zone. And as soon as you start to take someone out of their comfort zone, it can often create anxiety, and they perhaps may not perform the best. So I think it's a greater idea to actually stretch your comfort zone, to be working just on that perimeter, on that edge, to get yourself into a position where you feel capable of being able to achieve those additional goals, but you're not so scared and, you know, reticent to actually move into that outside my comfort zone area. And you then don't take any action because you feel so overwhelmed and stressed by the situation that you're being asked of in that extra space that wasn't comfortable for you.
That's really nice. I'm going to adopt that phrasing.
Oh, you're very welcome. I've listened a lot. There's an amazing lady, Lizzie Barrett Jackson, and she also talks about comfort zones. And I really align with her thought process about that we operate best in our comfort zone. Yeah. And by taking people, there's all these people, oh, face the fear and do it anyway. And it kind of makes you feel a bit inadequate. And you think, oh my God, I don't want to have the pants scared off me to be able to achieve these goals. That isn't kind of why I became self-employed. Nobody wants to sort of wake up fearful every morning. No. So I'm a bigger believer of working inside your comfort zone. But if you're wanting to grow, to move to the perimeter and bring those things that might just seem slightly outside your comfort zone, you know, getting that support to be able to achieve them and cross over that line or dance on that line of your comfort zone and widen your comfort zone in a way that feels comfortable for you. And suddenly by expanding your comfort zone, you're embracing further things that you thought were, you know, a little bit further beyond you, I suppose. but nobody wants to get into the panic zone. So you've got your comfort zone, your stretch zone, and then this panic zone at further outside. And I just think, oh my goodness, you know, that there are some coaches that insist on you diving straight into your panic zone. And those are the ones that I think people are scared to work with.
Yeah, definitely.
So tell our listeners, if you're able to, I know you've got some different tools that you work with, and we're going to put a link to them in the show notes. So what's one of the tools that you're going to share with us today?
Okay, so I have a metrics calculator. So I know lots of people are scared by maths and numbers. So I have created a metrics calculator. So I've talked about kind of like the data, like where you can go to find the original data, but things like conversion rates is like a real good marketing metric to measure. And I'd say that's the one.
Got a percentage in it, hasn't
yeah,
it?
That's the one you want to start with.
That's what yeah, stresses a lot of people. It's that word percentage. How the heck do you work out a percentage?
But it is the rate you need to know for basically almost everything. So I have created this calculator. It's all pre-calculated for you. So if you want to know your conversion rates, it tells you what actual numbers you need to plug in, and then it automatically calculates the answer for you. And that's for lots of numbers. I mean, conversion rates, return on investment, and other scary things like that. But they're not scary, really. They're the things that you need for your business.
Yeah, I think it's just about understanding and explaining them once you see it. But just exactly the same with Pocket PA, you become a data enterer, don't you, when you use these sorts of tools. So although it might look, you know, a bit spreadsheety and a bit nerve-wracking, it's just asking you for very specific numbers for you to enter those in, and then it works the things out for you at the end, and then it delivers that information in a way that you can easily digest and understand.
Exactly that.
Yeah. No, that's so important, because numbers is just one of those things, dyscalculia, which is something that my daughter has, where you have these spreadsheets and numbers and percentages and all these sorts of things. They are outside the comfort zone, and it's totally fine. It's no different to somebody with dyslexia that, you know, read something and the words and letters all get jumbled up. It's just the way our brains are programmed sometimes. And, you know, a lot of people get hot under the collar and sweaty palms around numbers and spreadsheets and opening bank accounts and looking. And when people also start to talk in sort of these grown-up terms that people that use, I suppose, things like, you know, profit, loss, accrual, trial balances, words that are outside of their comfort zone that accountants regularly use, that presume everybody knows, those sorts of things. You know, you talked about ROI, return on investment. And for a lot of people, that's quite a new term, or they're like, oh, I don't even know what that is. And so they put the sort of metrics into camps where, oh, that's for people that understand numbers, and I'm not one of those people. But
or for grown-ups.
Yes, for grown-ups, like adulting or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm still not
a grown-up. But when you're a business owner, you already are a grown-up. And if somebody is explaining something in a way that you don't understand and using abbreviations and all of those sorts of things, then the onus is on them to unpack it and explain it to you, because you're the client in that instance, and you should have information explained to you in a way that doesn't make you feel small or marginalized, or, you know, that you're the thickie in the room, because you're absolutely not. You're running a business, you're smashing it, but you might need some support and assistance just with sort of growing it to the next level or understanding numbers in a way that you can process them. So I think it's really important that you speak up.
Absolutely, because we can't all be experts at everything. You know, you might be a fabulous photographer, but doesn't mean to say you've got to be a fabulous accountant or a fabulous marketer. Although I would say business owners, if you know, an entrepreneur, you do have to be good at marketing.
You have to wear a few hats, for sure.
But
you don't have to be an expert.
Absolutely.
Exactly that. Yeah. Look at that. We're singing off the same hymn.
You don't have to be an expert. And you shouldn't expect to be. And I'm sorry if I said ROI. I did say ROI.
Oh, don't worry.
I hate acronyms because they're all about they're confusing, and I'm all about clarity. And that's another reason why I like metrics, because I think they provide you with a really clear path to follow. So yeah.
But it's lovely how you have a, you know, you're here to provide that with marketing and holding somebody's hand to enable them to sort of navigate that area of it if it's not their area of expertise, which for, let's face it, to be honest, if we're a business owner and we're specializing in, you know, whether it's beauty or a trade or whatever it is, you know, that's where we're a specialist and an expert, exactly. Not in having a maths degree or an accountancy qualification or being a bookkeeper or whatever. We have to do those things to a certain base level, but then we bring in an expert or get some help from somebody like yourself, Claire. No, that makes total sense. So thank you for sharing all of that. That's so interesting. If our listeners would like to find out more about you and connect, where is the best place for them to be able to find you, Claire?
Okay, so they can find me on Instagram at Claire Tebbit Online. Claire doesn't have an I. And Tebbit is T-E-B-B-E-T.
Lovely.
I swear I wish I had a really easy name to spell. or they can find me on my website, which is clairetebbit.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Lovely. Well, thank you for joining me this week. And also thanks for listening and have a wonderful week. And let's catch up soon. Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organized and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.